Let's see what the Lord will do here tonight. Colossians 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. Colossians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. Praise God. And I understand Brother Charlie is sick tonight. Let's remember him. Let's remember the Bible studies as well. Amen. Colossians 2, verse 8. Beware. Everybody said beware. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Praise God. There's only one place where we are complete tonight, and that is Jesus Christ. If you ever lose sight of that, amen. Well, I'm just going to say it tonight, beware. Beware that you lose that simplicity of serving God and going to Jesus Christ for every one of your answers and your needs. Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. We ask you to anoint it to our hearts. Speak to us, touch us. We give you thanks, we give you praise tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 You can be seated if you're going to help me tonight. Praise God. I promise I will not preach a long time, but I have to deliver what I feel. I spent quite a bit of time today looking at different things, and I found out, Brother Mike, that some of the things that I said last night were not correct. Amen. And so there'll be a little bit of Bible study here tonight and a little bit of correction here tonight. And I don't mind being corrected. I want to try to do the Word of God and minister the Word of God in accuracy. Praise God. One thing we've got to understand is, and I believe that we do tonight, is that there is an enemy of our soul. And he has many tactics that he uses to discourage us and to steal from us the great victory that the Lord has for us. And we do have victory tonight in the Lord. Somebody said amen. 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 Paul, speaking here, or writing rather, to the church in Colossae, gave them a word that's for us today. That is the word beware. And it means simply to look at or to behold, or to lie, to look on, or to perceive, or to regard. And so there are some things that we need to see. There are some things that we need to regard. In other words, when he said beware, he was literally saying there are some things that you need to look for. Amen. There are some things that you need to keep a sharp eye out for. Praise God. If you're in rattlesnake country, beware. And that doesn't mean be afraid. It does in a sense of the word, but it means keep a sharp eye out. Praise God. Look extra close. Watch closely, because this is a serious situation. When you're driving in your car, beware. Amen. But often we don't beware. We just go to work and we don't even realize that we have traveled 20 or 30 miles, whatever it is, to work. And I don't remember getting in my car, and I don't remember going around curves and turns and all of that. Well, there are a lot of people that die on the highways every year because of different things. And a lot of times it's because they were not aware of situations. I saw some pictures, I won't go into this tonight, but I saw some pictures of an accident that took place just outside of Augusta on 400, and it was involved in a semi-truck and a regular car. And I will not even try to describe the carnage. The man was completely destroyed, and they discovered that he was texting on his cell phone and was not aware of what was going on around him. And probably most of us here tonight have been guilty of that, but we need to beware because there is danger ahead. We need to be aware because there are lots of different things going on at the same time. Amen. And there are a lot of things that are going on at the same time in our world. Praise God. There are many, many things that are taking place in our world right now. And Paul said here, and this is where I want to correct something. We were talking about this scripture last night. He said, "Beware lest any man spoil you." And the word spoil, there are two places where the word spoil is found in the Word of God. And one of them is where an enemy will defeat another enemy and they will take their goods from them. They will spoil them. But this is not the word that is used here. And this is the only place in the Bible, in the New Testament, where this word is used. And it means will be, or from the base word of this word, it means to be, or to exist, or to happen, or to be present. Amen. And so when Paul was writing to the church here in Colossae, he was literally saying, beware lest any man cause to happen. Amen. Lest any man cause to happen or to bring about these events in your life. That's a big difference than spoiling as in a battle and that sort of situation. And so I want to correct that tonight. Amen. And it's very important that we see that for the rest of this message here tonight, because he was saying, beware lest any man cause to happen. And then he launches into things that can happen in your life. And I want to jump down through here because he said, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Can I just say at the beginning of the message here tonight that if we are not complete in Jesus Christ, we are going to seek for other things to be complete in. Praise God, because there is an empty spot in every person. And I'm going to deal with that before we leave here tonight. But there is an empty spot that has to be filled. It is the empty spot. It is a hole in your soul tonight. And it has to be filled with God in order for us to be complete. Amen. And we know that Jesus Christ is the one that completes us in salvation. And so there are some things that will that men, and he's speaking basically about men here. It's not necessarily demonic, even though it is demonic. There is a demonic presence in our world today. But he said, beware lest any man. And so he's talking about the ways of men here that can affect your mind and affect your spirit and affect the direction that you are traveling in life. Amen. And so beware lest any man cause to happen philosophy. Everybody said philosophy. Philosophy. And here is the definition of philosophy. It means literally the love of wisdom. Praise God. The love of wisdom. But in modern acceptation, philosophy is a general term denoting an explanation of the reason of things. Or it is an investigation of the causes of all phenomena, both of mind and of matter. Amen. And so that sounds pretty innocent enough, but what we are talking about here tonight is not the Word of God, which is what the Scripture calls doctrine. Amen. What we are talking about tonight is something that comes from man, and that is philosophy. Amen. And we need more than just the wisdom of man. Somebody said amen. Amen. We need the wisdom of God. You can go to Ecclesiastes. You can go to the book of Proverbs. And you'll find that wisdom and knowledge are the principal things. They are worth more than gold and silver. But we're not talking about the wisdom of men. We are talking about the wisdom of God there. And philosophy is the wisdom of men. It is the love of wisdom. If you remember when Paul went to the city of Athens, Athens, Greece, and he preached to them, they were always looking for some new bit of wisdom. They were sitting around telling stories or saying, I discovered this or I discovered that, and their whole lives were caught up in philosophy. Much philosophy has come out of the Greek culture and all of that, and it is baseless and senseless in a lot of ways. But in some ways, it's good. It's kind of like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There was good there, and there was evil there at the same time. A lot of good has come out of people seeking for wisdom. Amen. We drive cars today because somebody sought out wisdom of matter, the wisdom of the ways thing or the way things work in our world. And that's why we have automobiles to drive today. That's why we literally have lights in the church. There was a day, and it wasn't too long ago, probably just a little over 100 years ago, lights were not in many houses in America. And there was not running water. There was a well outside. And in order to get the water, you had to pump it. Amen. And if you were very fortunate, you had a pump in your house. And that's where the kitchen was, right there where the sink was. And you just pumped the water into the sink. Amen. Somebody said, well, I'd like to go back to the old days. I'm not really sure I'd like to go back to the old days. Amen. Praise God. If we were to go back to the old days, I'd have been gone a long time ago, but I'm still here able to preach the word of the Lord because somebody figured out a few things in this world. I'm thankful for some of those things. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And we have jobs today. We make our living today because of those things. But we need more than the wisdom of God, First Corinthians, or the wisdom of man. 1 Corinthians 1 and 20, it says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Or in other words, somebody that knows everything. Have you ever met somebody that knows everything? They are the disputers of this world. They will argue with you. They will tell you that they know what they're talking about. And most of the time, nobody else knows anything but them. And that is the disputer of the world. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Amen. Scribes were those that copied Scripture. And they knew the center word of the Old Testament. They knew how many characters there were in the Old Testament. They had all the data, if you please, and they could pull that data up and tell you this, that, and the other. But the truth of the matter was they didn't even know God. They didn't know the one that the Scriptures were written about. And he said, where are these people? Where are the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Amen. I'd like to say tonight, where's the wise in our congregation? I'm talking about in the context of 1 Corinthians 20. Where are the scribes here tonight? Amen. Where are the disputers of this world? Well, they're not here. Amen. And they're not here because to them, this is not wisdom. Amen. To them, this is foolishness. Wisdom is out there somewhere in the scientific community. Wisdom is out there in philosophy and finding a new way or whatever it is. And it is what they have wrapped their whole life into. Our world has wrapped its whole existence into technology. And dear Lord, the technology we have today scares us, and it is leading us to a one-world system, and it's not that far down the road, my friend. Where are they? They're not in the church. And Paul said in one place, not many wise, not many noble are called. But God has called the foolish of the world, the foolishness of the world, and so on, to confound the things that are wise. Amen. God does not call many wise people. The call is certainly there, but he can't do anything about that call because they know too much. Amen. They're too wise in their own deceit and conceit and don't feel like anybody can tell them anything. That's where the church shines, amen, in the realm of the Spirit, and that is that God can call somebody to preach and put an anointing upon them, and they may not even have an education. Amen. Amen. One of the most well-known preachers in Pentecost in the 1900s was Charles Mahaney. And if you've ever heard him preach, he had quite an interesting way of preaching. We were discussing this the other night, and I doubt if he has a high school diploma. Probably a high school dropout, did nothing but drugs, and was, well, praise God. He would probably laugh if he heard me say it today, but when I first saw him and heard him preach, I thought, that's the ugliest person I've ever seen. And he was not anything fancy or anything like that, but God used him in a mighty, mighty way. God put an anointing upon him. And certainly God does not call people that are qualified, but God calls people because of their faith and their desire to seek after his wisdom. Amen. And Paul goes on here and he says, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Is there any believers here tonight? Amen. I know you're a believer because you're here. Praise God. And I want to try to help us, try to lift us up a little bit. But by philosophy, you're not going to know God. By the wisdom of this world, you're not going to know God. And certainly by philosophy, you will not be complete. Amen. We are complete in one and one alone, and that is Jesus Christ. I think what we need to do, I know what we need to do, is to stay with the principles of the doctrine of Christ and the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. Amen. We're not going to get caught up in the church fathers. We're not going to get caught up in history. And I'm going to talk about some of that here tonight a little bit. Because when it all comes down to it, you can ask that person and say, "Have you ever had a personal experience with God? Have you ever received the baptism of the Holy Ghost?" And they will tell you, "I don't believe in that because page 69 of the Church Fathers or page 359 of the book of Josephus, this is recorded and it cannot be true because of the wisdom of man." Well, I'll tell you what, we're finding out in our generation that there is such a thing as fake news. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And there is such a thing called the internet, and just because it's on the internet doesn't mean that it is so and that it is true. In fact, there is lots of what was called in World War II propaganda. Amen. A lot of things are being said to try to manipulate the minds of people to bring about, or as I said in the beginning, to cause to happen to people. Amen. To kind of subtly direct them in a particular direction. And so if you're not satisfied in philosophy, which you never will be, then it will lead to something else. And it will lead to what Paul said, vain deceit. Everybody said vain deceit. Vain deceit. That is what is known as empty delusion. Amen. And those that are not satisfied with Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, you're in a very dangerous place. I would say tonight, beware. Amen. I would say tonight, lift up your head and start looking around you and look in the mirror and look at yourself and say, what is really going on? I don't want to go by my feelings, amen, but I need Jesus Christ more than anything in all of this world. The devil will try to lure these young people away from the church with philosophy. You get philosophy in the school system, and they will tell you there is no God, and they will tell you there is no creation, that we are just a bunch of chemicals that are put together by happen chance somehow or another, and they don't have all the answers, but you don't talk about the answers that they don't have. You only have to listen to what they try to tell you. And then when they get to the point where they have infused philosophy into your mind, then they will tell you that you have rights. Amen. That you have rights, that mom and dad are not important anymore. Amen. They will tell you all sorts of things that are contrary to the Word of God. They will tell you that the preacher is nothing but a fool. Amen. They will put down the church. They will put down Jesus Christ. Amen. And those of you that are in school, in the public school system, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. You can have a pervert for a teacher. Amen. You can have perverted students that are sitting beside you. And they will tell you, oh, you're missing out on all the fun. Amen. You're missing out on all the pleasure and all the fun. Why don't you come with us? Well, I'm telling you tonight, I want to preach to somebody tonight. It will not complete you. It will not make you fulfilled in your heart. There will still be a big hole in your heart that has to be filled with one thing and one thing alone, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Your friends at school will tell you, why don't you come with us on Friday night? Our parents are going to be gone. We're going to have beer. We're going to have fun. We can do this, that, and the other, and nobody will ever find out. And after it's over with, nobody's hurt, and everything's cool, everything's going along. I'm telling you, there's got to be something in your heart that says, beware. Amen. Nobody's told me anything, but I'm telling you, I've been down that road. I know exactly what I'm talking about, and it happens in every school system. Oh, yes. Amen. And it will lead to fornication. Amen. It will lead to sinful lifestyles and perverted lifestyles, where people become confused, empty delusion. A delusion is something that deceives you. You think you're going in the right way, but you're not going in the right way. It's like the car salesman, the used car salesman years and years ago, they would put insulation in the valve cover. And it would dampen the noise, and it would make this engine sound really quiet. And then they would put a brand new oil change in it, but down in the bottom where the gears and everything are, they would put sawdust in there. This is way back. And when you turn it on, the rods are not knocking. It sounds really smooth. Everything is going good. And with a slick tongue, he tells you you're really going to like this thing. And it's only so many dollars. It's a lot cheaper than the one down the street. And you become captivated by the spirit of delusion. Amen. You got to stop and think about things when it comes to actions in your life, because you might be driving at home and all of a sudden the engine blows up halfway between here and home, and you go back and the man says, well, I'm really sorry. It must have been your fault. The title or the sales slip says as is. Well, I didn't see that part. Well, I'm sorry, but that's what it says, and we can't give you your money back, and you're on your own. Amen. Right. Praise the Lord. It's like years and years, this is way back, way before my time, they would call it being stovepiped. Amen. And they would take a sack of potatoes, an empty sack, and they stick a stovepipe down in the sack and then put good potatoes around on the outside of the stovepipe and put all the rotten and spoiled and all the bad potatoes on the inside of the pipe and then pull the pipe out. And in that way, you look at the bag of potatoes, and my, these are good potatoes. And so you buy them, and half of them are rotted on the inside. You've been stovepiped. Amen. You know what? The devil is real good at stovepiping people. But we're not talking about the devil tonight. We're talking about men. Amen. Beware lest any man, and men will lead you in this direction. So when you're done with all your drinking and all your partying and all the things that are going on in the world, the foolishness of this world, there will still be an empty spot in your heart. Still be an empty spot in your heart. And I'd like to say this tonight. I don't want to get too hot and heavy here, but I'd like to say this tonight that if you're not beware, the possibility exists that you could end up behind bars somewhere. And you're nodding your head at the pastor tonight, but it's a different story when you hear that door close behind you. I've been in those places, and when the door, not because I broke the law, I did spend one night in jail, and I realized that night that I better get my act together, and that's when I went to church. And God turned my life around. I'm thankful I was only in jail one night of my whole life. But I've been in jail before preaching, and I've been in some of those institutions preaching more than once. And I'm telling you what, you walk in there and there is a spirit in those places. You talk to anybody that's been in there. At nighttime, those spirits rise up. And it's an awful, horrible thing. Amen. And so somebody tonight needs to beware. Because what it'll lead you to, it'll lead you to traditions. Let's go to the next one. After the traditions of men. Again, this is not the devil. This is men. Traditions of men. And that word tradition there means the delivery of opinions, doctrines, practices, rites, and customs from father to son. Or from ancestors to posterity, or their children and grandchildren and so forth. The transmission of any opinions or practice from forefathers to descendants, amen. That's what tradition is. What we could say in one sense of the word is that it's a familiar spirit. The Bible talks about a familiar spirit. What we must understand tonight is that tradition will lead you away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, we talk about tradition. Jesus talked about tradition, and he criticized and condemned the scribes and Pharisees because by their traditions, they wiped out the Word of God. And if you cursed your mother and father, according to the Old Testament, you would be stoned to death. But if you said, well, it's a gift, I'm just giving this to you as a gift, then you are free from the law, and you can curse your mother and your father. And so by their traditions, well, we've always done it this way. This is the way, oh God, help us here tonight. I don't want to stir up a revolution here or anything, but I'm telling you, we've got to beware. Traditions. Amen. We've always done it that way. This is the way we've always been. And so because this is the way we've always been, this is the way it's supposed to be. Well, I'm telling you tonight, and I've come to this conclusion, that personality is something that is genetic. Amen. I believe that your personality is genetic. I believe that we are given a certain personality, and the Lord knows that. And I believe that tonight. I really do. I've seen it in many, many cases and places. But some people are born with a tendency to be an alcoholic. And they say that one drink and they will be an alcoholic for life. There are some people that have a tendency toward perversion. There are some people that are very lustful and some people that are not very lustful. And it goes back to the genetic part of your body. Amen. So what does that mean tonight? What are you saying, Pastor? you know, that's the way I am. I'm just a part of my family. I'm a German tonight. And Germans are known for being stubborn. And so that gives me the right to be stubborn. And I guess it comes out, everybody says I'm stubborn, but you know what, I'm stubborn about the things of God. There are natural tendencies that we have. Amen. Some of those tendencies are good in certain circumstances, but I've heard people say, well, that's just my personality. Well, listen, I'm telling you, God has a way of modifying us. Amen. We are to conform to His image. And if there is something about us that is not right with God, we cannot hide behind tradition. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We cannot hide behind our tradition and just say, well, that's just the way it is and that's the way it's always going to be. I'm telling you tonight, you need to beware because God's plan may be 180 degrees out of your plan. And usually it is. You may find yourself on the road to Damascus and hear a voice from heaven that says, I want you, Jewish man, who knows the law forwards, backwards, upside down, and every other way, I want you to be a minister to the Gentiles who've never picked up a scroll and never been to a synagogue one time in their life. Well, that's not the way I was raised. How am I going to do that, God? Well, I'll tell you what, you got to lean on the Holy Ghost, and you've got to go back to the place where you say, I am complete in Him. Amen. I've got to go back to that simple understanding that Jesus Christ is my only completion tonight. Somebody said amen. Praise God. It says in 2 Peter 3 and 4 that they will say, or they did say in Noah's day, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. It's always been this way, and it's always going to be this way. There's no point in getting too excited about going to church. There's nothing so important that, you know, you got to give your whole life to God. God knows. I've heard just about everything. You know, God knows. He made me this way, and so that's the way I'm going to be. You know what? That's a bunch of hogwash tonight. As we used to say years ago, that's a bunch of baloney. Amen. Well, somebody smiled just a little bit. Amen. Just because it's popular doesn't make it of God. Amen. And this too will leave you feeling incomplete. You know why? Because the reason is that when you follow the crowd, listen to me tonight, listen carefully, that when you follow the crowd, you're not really your own person. You're modifying yourself to fit in with the crowd. You're going to be like them. I'm going to dress like them to fit in. I'm going to talk like them to fit in. I'm going to go to the places they go to fit in. I'm going to wear the clothes they wear, the same glasses they put on. I'm going to try to talk like them. Well, praise the Lord. We call it peer pressure. And it's a real thing. It's pressure because if you don't conform, then you get picked on. Nobody wants to be rejected. Nobody wants to be picked on. Amen. So we conform. And that's why the world is going the way it is. I've always thought that the new dress fads and all of that were made up by somebody somewhere who probably got up in the morning and said, let's see how foolish we can make them dress today. And come up with some purple, pink, polka-dotted situation and then look and see that people are actually following that. Praise God. You know, the Beatles, they used to sing the songs, you know, about, you know, nobody having anything. The song Imagine there's no property ownership. Imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there's no hell. Imagine that we all living in peace and love and all of this. Nobody having more than anybody else. It's really communism. Nobody having more than anybody else. And it sounds so sweet and sounds so good. But the truth of the matter is that one of them one day said, you know what? I think I'm going to write myself a swimming pool. And so he wrote a song, and the money that he made off of it, he got himself a swimming pool in his expensive home. Amen. You know what? I'm not going to follow the crowd.
Amen.
I don't want to follow the crowd. I want to follow Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because he's the only one that will complete us. And then he says, and this is what it will lead you to. Traditions will lead you to the rudiments of the world. Amen. And that word rudiment there, or rudiments, means something orderly in arrangement. Praise God. Hope you're getting something out of this. This is what we are to beware of. And it is science, so-called. And like I said already, we know that some things work. We want order in our lives. And so we're willing to go and spend a very, very good portion of our lives working somewhere, doing what we're told so we can make money, so we can have order in our lives, so we can go home to a warm home in the wintertime. So when we go home in the summer, it's cool. Praise God. So we have a car that runs well, and it'll take us to work and back. And we can provide for our children, and we can have some niceties in our lives. And so there is a place for having rudiments in your life. Amen. Having things in order. Praise God. When things are out of order, you get into trouble. But sometimes when you are in order, you can get yourself in trouble as well, because you're more concerned about the order of your life than you are the will of God. Well, praise the Lord. Beware lest any man lead you to this place. Jesus talked about it, and he said it was like the thorns. And the thorns got up, and they choked the word of God, and they became unfruitful. Amen. Those thorns that began to choke them was order in their lives. It was an excess of order. Praise God. I wonder tonight, if the Lord asked you to give $1,000 to a missionary, would you be willing to sacrifice some of the order of your life? Amen. Well, praise God. Now it's getting quiet in here. Amen. And we preach tithing. Everybody said tithing. And offerings. Offerings. Amen. And some folks are willing to step out of the order of life. Amen. And instead of spending that money on themselves and spending it to gain and get a little bit more in this life, they're willing to sacrifice to God. Amen. And there's a tremendous blessing that comes with that. But it is order. Amen. And order can go to science as well, and I've already covered that. I wonder, are there any more Abrahams today? I wonder, are there any others that are willing to move and go to a foreign country and get on a bus and preach to people wherever the buses went, instead of going into business or working on a job and having a nice home and comforts and all of that. I'm not trying to make us feel guilty tonight about what we have. I have a nice home. I drive a nice car. I wear nice clothes. I have plenty to eat. I'm very thankful for that. But I want to beware. I want to look and make sure that these things are not overtaking me. Praise God. The rudiments of the world. He brought this out. And because he brought it out, it's important for us here tonight. Hebrews 11 and 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Are we seeking a country tonight? Or are we seeking a bigger bank account? I believe we can do both of those.
Hallelujah.
Well, praise God. I believe that we can do both of those, but we need to be open to the will of God. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. And it says, if they were mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Do you see there that when life is only about getting things, amen, it leaves an empty hole in your heart. It leaves a feeling that I'm not complete. I need more. I want more. And it will lead us to many hurtful things. Praise God. But they might have had opportunity to return, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Amen. There's some things we need to beware of tonight, church. Come on, somebody help me just a little bit. Amen. There's some things. He said, you are complete in him. And that word complete there means to cram down into and to level up. Or it really speaks of a hollow in the ground, and you fill that hollow up. I tried to do that the other day. I've got some potholes in my driveway, and I was trying to fill that void up and scraping gravel off of another place and then putting it in those holes and so that it is complete. Amen. So that it's not a bumpy road. It's a complete road. It's a smooth road. Everything is going smoothly here because there's no bumps, there's no hollows, there's no impediments along the way. Praise God. And so what we've got to do here is understand that we are complete in him, for in him, and there's the very next verse, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Praise God. Amen. We got to go back to the simplicity, folks. I'm excited about this one God truth. Amen. I'm not getting away from the truth that there's only one place that I can be happy, and that is in Jesus Christ. You say, well, that sounds kind of radical, and is that all we're supposed to do is live for Jesus? I'm telling you, that's the priority of life. He said, don't seek for what you're going to wear, where you're going to live, and all of these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then he'll give you the place that you desire. He'll give you the job that you desire. How many are blessed tonight on your jobs? Praise God, I'm blessed tonight. And this isn't a job. I didn't mean it that way. Amen. This is actually a calling in my life. And there's times of faith that you got to walk when you're in the ministry. And that's not a complaint tonight, just a matter of fact. And so he said in Luke 6 and verse 37, I'm going to finish with this tonight. Judge not that you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Do we believe that tonight? Because when we follow these words, now listen to me. The next verse says give. Everybody said give. and it shall be given unto you. We think about that when we think about giving our tithes and offering. That's what we think about. Well, I'm giving to God, and that's why God gave me this super deal on this car. Or God opened the door here, or God opened the door there. And we think about it in monetary terms. But if you read before that, it says, judge not, so that you be not judged. What does that mean? That means you have the right to judge, but you give liberty to that person. You're giving. What else did he say? He said, judge not that you shall not be judged. Condemn not. Oh my, there's a lot to condemn in our world, isn't there? We could go around preaching condemnation, condemnation, condemnation. But the scripture says there is therefore now no condemnation. Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Amen. You know what he was doing? He was giving her the liberty for another chance. Praise God. He was giving something to her that she probably did not deserve and actually did not deserve. Amen. And so he says, condemn, lest you be condemned. Forgive, everybody said, forgive.
Forgive.
Forgive, and it shall be forgiven. And so then he says, give, and it shall be given to you. And so in every area of our life, in our forgiveness, in our condemnation, in the other areas that he spoke of, judging and giving monetarily, he said, if we will become givers, then we can become receivers. Because without giving, we cannot receive. Amen. Without giving up some things in our life. When you give to God, you're giving up a part of your life. When you forgive someone, you're giving up a part of your emotion, the negative emotion toward that person. You're giving it up. Amen. You're giving a person liberty where they probably deserve condemnation. Amen. I want God to give to me. I'm not interested in becoming poor spiritually. I want to be blessed spiritually. I want to be blessed financially as much as it's in the will of God.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I don't want to go home to an empty cupboard. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I like it when nice things show up at the dinner table. Well, they don't just show up. Amen. Praise God. It's really nice, Brother Mike, to go to Cheddar's and get a Philly cheesesteak every now and then. Praise God. I like those things. But you know what? In order to give, or to receive rather, then we must give. And what kind of receiving are we going to get back? Good measure. Everybody said good measure. Come on, press down. Shaken together. Running over. Shall men give into your bosom. Praise God. Sister Reed, would you come tonight? But I'm telling you right now, the day is going to come when you're going to need forgiveness.
Amen.
The day is going to come when you do something where you could be condemned for that.
Right.
The day is going to come when somebody could judge you. And now we sing the song, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh God, help me, I messed up. God, help me, I did some things I shouldn't do. God, I said some things. Why did I say that? I need forgiveness. I need mercy. And the Lord will open up the book. And he will say, well, I see right here that you could have gotten revenge on this person and you didn't give revenge. I'm going to forgive you because you forgave them.
Amen.
What do you think is in God's book? Amen. He said, pray this way. Father, forgive us of our trespasses. He didn't say just sins. He said trespasses. Amen.
Right.
Why? He said, if you don't forgive, those that you need to forgive or who have done you wrong, he said, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you.
Right.
With the measure that you measure, it will be measured back to you.
Amen.
My pastor always said, the window of giving, if you make it that big, we're just big enough where you can slide a dollar through. The Lord's going to slide a dollar and 50 cents back. Praise God. I want to open the window wide. Get a bucket full and throw it in there. And just wait for the blessing to come back. Because you know what? There's going to be times in my life I'm going to need financial help. Praise God. The longer we live for the Lord, the less we have that problem, it seems like. Amen. The less we have that problem. We're doing pretty good tonight.
Amen. That's right.
Anybody doing pretty good?
Amen.
Oh, yeah, you got bills and all that sort of thing, but you're doing pretty good. How many's doing better than you were when you first gave your life to God? Doing better. How many's living in a nicer home? How many's driving a nicer car? How many wishes they were driving a Bugatti? Amen. You better open that window up wide, boy. Start shoveling everything through there. Amen. You're going to need it. Amen. But you know what? If that's in the will of God, you better take me for a spin in that thing. Well, praise the Lord, somebody.
Amen.
Amen. The same measure that I measure is going to be measured back to me in judging, in forgiving, in condemning, and all of those things. Well, praise God. I'm giving up a portion of my life, but you know what? I'm getting more back. Heaped up, pressed down, shaken together. That's how much forgiveness you're going to get. That's how much freedom you're going to get from judgment. That's how much freedom you're going to get from condemnation. That's how much more you're going to get back just by giving. Praise the Lord. And we've seen it in the giving area, but I've really never heard anybody teach it along this line. Amen. Where it also applies to forgiveness and all those other areas. Aren't you thankful that you know him tonight?
Amen.
Let's stand together right now. Praise God. Praise God. It's Wednesday night. I hope somebody receives something from the Word of God, because the Word of God is powerful and it will help us. Beware. Amen. Beware. Open your eyes. Look around. Amen. Watch where you go. Watch who you associate yourself with. Amen. I think in the scripture it talks about a young boy, and it says, be careful that you don't run with another angry person, because you'll learn his ways. Praise God. Better be careful who you run with. Amen. Because the people you're running with might find themselves in trouble with the law.
Amen.
And then you're going to be right there beside them. I don't know why I come back to that again, but I'm telling you what, there is a perverted world, a perverted world. Amen. And the person that goes after that perversion is foolish. Very, very foolish. You're going to destroy your soul and you're going to destroy your future. Amen. Jesus, we need you tonight. We need the touch of your Spirit tonight. We need your presence to help us. Give us ears to hear the Word of God. Give us ears, Lord, to understand your truth tonight. In Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord thanks together tonight.